Okay. Well, I want to first of all thank everyone for sticking around and thank the organizers for having me. It's true, I'm going to be presenting to you, if you'll listen in, my research on psychosocial factors and inflammation in cognitive function. And again, these analyses are in a younger sample than usual, so these are middle-aged and young old adults. I don't have any relationships to disclose. So why cognitive function? Why this younger group rather than a group of more advanced age? Certainly, I'm not sure if anyone in here is interested in aging research, but we all hear a lot about Alzheimer's disease these days, and for good reason. So the burden of Alzheimer's disease and of age-related cognitive change in general is increasing as US demographics shift and as our population ages. Right now, approximately 1 out of every 9 adults over the age of 65 is diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. What those statistics don't tell you, though, is that there's also many, many more people who are experiencing subclinical levels of age-related cognitive decline. And while that decline doesn't necessarily even ever reach the point of clinical diagnosis, it still can have a substantial impact not only on someone's productivity, but on their quality of life as well. That doesn't even account for the fact that the same neuropathology that is underlying this sort of subclinical decline is the neuropathology that underlies Alzheimer's disease diagnosis as well. So when we look at risk factors and protective factors, we can speak to both outcomes. Moreover, there's currently no treatment that's been shown to stop or even slow Alzheimer's-related changes more than temporarily. And what that highlights for me as an epidemiologist is the need to focus on modifiable risk factors and protective factors. We've generally seen modest effects looking at modifiable risk factors and lifestyle interventions, but in the absence of a magic bullet, even modest effects are important. For instance, it's been shown actually that delaying the onset of Alzheimer's disease at a population level in the US by just 1 year could ultimately end up saving about $10 billion annually when you're talking about prevalence rates like we're seeing. In terms of modifiable risk factors, I am particularly interested in social engagement. Social engagement has been associated with better cognitive function cross-sectionally, with reduced declines longitudinally, and ultimately with a lower risk for Alzheimer's diagnosis. There are, however, some gaps in that body of research. So first of all, just because of the data that's so often available to us, a lot of the focus has been on, again, clinical diagnosis or very severe levels of decline. And this is despite the fact that at this point, middle age, with the sort of early and subtle cognitive changes, has been identified as a very critical period as far as intervention goes. Secondly, the physiological mechanisms that underlie the relationship between social engagement and cognitive function have been proposed, but they've much more rarely been analytically explored. So in this model, I've just attempted to illustrate the relationship between psychosocial factors and cognitive function based within a stress buffering or stress and coping framework. So what you see here is that stressful experiences are negatively impacting cognitive function via a variety of pathways, going from depressive symptomatology and mood changes, like we heard about in the previous presentation, all the way to hippocampal shrinkage. So this is actual brain volume declines in the regions of the brain prominent in memory function. I have focused most in these analyses on stress-linked inflammation. So this is inflammation as part of the immune response to both acute and chronic stress. This has been linked not only on the other side of the brain, blood-brain barrier, to neurotoxicity, so neuronal cell death, but also to the cardiovascular risk factors that are recently been strongly linked to cognitive decline. Social support within this framework may directly impact these pathways. The emphasis, though, is on social support as a buffer or effect modifier of the negative impact of stressful experiences. So our objective, then, with these analyses was to look at the main effects of each psychosocial predictor and also of inflammation on cognitive function, and then also to assess inflammation as a potential mediator of those relationships. To do this, we use data from the Wisconsin Registry for Alzheimer's Prevention, or the RAP study. This is a group of about 1,500 middle-aged and older adults, all cognitively intact at baseline, but the sample is enriched for a parental history of Alzheimer's disease. We utilize a longitudinal design with ongoing visits occurring every 2 years. In terms of our predictor variables, again, we looked at social support. There, we just asked about the perceived availability of someone to provide 9 different kinds of social support. So, for instance, someone you can count on to listen to when you need to talk, someone to help you with chores when you're sick. Again, there were 9 items. The total score ranged from 0 to 36. In terms of stressful experiences, the main thing I want to emphasize here is that we focused on stressful experiences that occurred over the past year. We asked, first of all, whether a given experience, the death of a spouse, major problems with money, had occurred, and secondly, we asked, if it had occurred, how much stress was associated with that experience. This, again, there were 12 of these potentially stressful experiences that we asked about, with a possible score range of 0 to 36. In terms of our stress-linked inflammatory biomarkers, we assayed 2 from blood samples, so this was peripheral. We looked at interleukin-6, or IL-6, and CRP, C-reactive protein. Our outcomes were cognitive test performance. So RAP participants, when they come in, undergo 2.5 hours of neuropsychological testing. And we've used factor analysis to then map or load those 2.5 hours of testing onto 6 key cognitive domains that we hope get at the very sort of distinct domains that can be affected differentially over time. 2 of those domains are part of what you've probably heard referred to as executive function, and then the remaining 4 are all different and distinct aspects of episodic memory. In terms of our modeling, we used mixed effects modeling to account for the longitudinal study design and for actually some sibling groups that are participating in our RAP study. And again, our primary analyses looked at the main effects of our psychosocial predictors and then those 2 inflammatory biomarkers. We did look at a support stress interaction term just to test the stress buffering hypothesis within our sample. And finally, in those secondary analyses, we did look at mediation of the psychosocial predictor cognition pathway. Epidemiologists tend to be divided on the validity of mediation analyses, but I'll remind you, should you choose to accept mediation, what we need to see to call inflammation a mediator is once we've established independent relationships between psychosocial predictors and between inflammation and cognitive test performance, we first need to assess the relationship between psychosocial predictors and inflammation. Should that particular criterion be met, then we would test whether the relationship between our psychosocial predictors and cognitive function is attenuated by the inclusion of those inflammatory markers in our regression models. So very basic mediation analysis. What we found. The sample was about 60 years old on average, majority female, majority white. 72% of our participants do have at least 1 parent with diagnosed Alzheimer's disease. It's a fairly well-educated sample with over 40% having some post-college education. If you're interested in such things, 38% of our sample actually does carry the most well-established genetic risk factor for Alzheimer's disease, the APOE4 allele. The only other thing I want to point out here is that social support scores on average were quite high, with a mean of about 29 out of a possible 36, and conversely, stress scores were very low, with a mean of about 1.7 out of 36 possible points. So, results. These are beta coefficients and p-values for our relationship between social support and cognitive test performance. We're most interested there in Model 3, which is a comprehensive model that includes not only demographics and health and lifestyle factors, but also partner status. I've presented the results from earlier models, so you can really see which covariate clusters drive the relationships. What we found looking at the fullest models was that there was a positive relationship between social support and cognitive test performance in just 1 domain, and that was in the domain of speed and flexibility, which, just to remind you, is a key part of executive function. Moving on to stressful experiences, Again, what we found was that this time there was a negative relationship, as expected, between stressful experiences in the past year and cognitive test performance, again, in speed and flexibility. Now, switching gears and looking at the relationship between inflammation and cognitive test performance, what we found, and these are results from the fullest model, so model 3, was that CRP was not associated with cognitive test performance in any domain. However, IL-6 was actually negatively associated with cognitive test performance, not only in speed and flexibility this time, but in immediate memory as well. So, those were our main effects. Moving on to the mediation analyses, I'll remind you that the first thing we needed to look for here was the relationship between our psychosocial predictors and inflammation. And what you can see in the first two rows is that, unfortunately for us as investigators, we didn't see that relationship at all. What we did see predicting inflammation was what I would call a sort of cluster of health factors. So age, BMI, and status as a current smoker were all positively associated with levels of IL-6 in particular. Conversely, physical activity was negatively associated with inflammation, IL-6 in particular. So there went our mediation hypothesis. And what we can conclude in the end was that perceived social support was associated with better speed and flexibility, but not better memory. That recent stressful experiences were associated with poorer performance in speed and flexibility, but again, no association with memory. That peripheral inflammation, rather than being a mediator, independently predicted performance in both speed and flexibility and immediate memory. And what it looks like in our data is that peripheral inflammation, the systemic inflammation, is a much better indicator of overall health, poorer health, health vulnerabilities than it is of psychosocial resources or obstacles. There are just a couple of limitations that I think they're mentioning. So first of all, if you know anything about inflammation, you know that acute infection or illness can drastically impact inflammation levels, and we didn't have that data to incorporate into our models. We can only hope that this was not a significant problem among our participants. Most do cancel if they're feeling ill, because 2.5 hours of testing is quite a lot to take on when you're under the weather. Second, we do need additional within-subject data points before we can move beyond sort of this cross-sectional interpretation of our longitudinal data. And finally, I just want to mention, we did see this unexpected lack of findings in some other key domains where I would have expected to see associations, for instance, working memory. I think what's really being emphasized here in this younger sample is that there are domains that are particularly vulnerable at younger ages, so we're really seeing where the changes first start happening. I want to just acknowledge my colleagues at the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center and the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Institute, and I'm really happy to take any questions you have. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
We didn't ask about what kind of support was coming from which sort of nodes in the social network. We just asked about it overall. I think that would be really interesting to look at, because certainly some nodes are going to be more important than others, especially when you're talking about an aging population who is maybe shrinking down but also tightening their social network. That's a great question. We didn't have that data, though.
Any more questions? Well, I guess I have a question.
Okay.
And it's related if you, first of all, how did you determine what type of biomarkers of inflammation you are going to use? And the second question is related to, did you have any data related to comorbidities or if, like, you know, pregnant comorbidities like depression or some type of, even a pain scale or something like this, and if you did, if what were, did you find any?
To start with the question, in terms of why we included the biomarkers that we did, I think it's the answer that probably most people have to give, which is, you know, when we designed the study, we needed to pick a couple, and these were the most commonly used by other research groups, so it seemed prudent to go along with that methodology. In terms of looking at comorbidities, so certainly I included BMI in all of the models. In terms of other comorbidities, depression, I sort of feel is too important to be just thrown in as a covariate. I think it would warrant a whole separate analysis when you're talking about these issues. Certainly you see coefficients jumping around when you add it in. So we do have data coming from the CESD, the Epidemiological Depression Index, I'm not sure. But I did not include depression in these models. Pain, we don't ask about. These tend to be pretty healthy individuals, so we're trying to limit burden, and unfortunately we can't ask about a lot of things that would be important.
Very good, thank you. Any more questions?
I've actually had, so we've looked at social support and, you know, without the inflammation as mediator hypothesis in other sort of subsamples here, and I've had good luck with, I mean, so the mediation analysis didn't work out, but we still see effects of stressful experiences and social support. So hopefully, in terms of this analysis, those main effect findings will drive acceptance. But I think you're right. If I hadn't found that, then no one would hear about this at all. I will say, though, it's sample specific here. So there certainly are studies that have found links between psychosocial predictors and inflammation. Just didn't happen for us yet.
Very good. More questions? I guess then we are going to go to the last presentation.